Here we go.
Yo!
Yo!
We got microphone? Is that working?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, actually, I can hear you a lot better than I did the other night.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Great.
Excellent.
Same here, yeah.
Great. Here it is. Here it is, podcast. Tuesday, September 22nd, my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Oh, nice.
Got Christian here with the American Red Cross up in Portland. Take two.
I'm trying to... Yeah. We'll nail it down this time.
We'll leave that the inside joke.
So are you in, I know you were in Eugene for a little bit. You're still there or are you in Portland now?
No, I'm back in Portland. And we'll be heading back to Eugene tomorrow. We have opening up a warehouse, closing down a shelter, and opening up a new HQ.
Okay.
And so, and what else do I got going on tomorrow? And a 2.5 hour drive. There.
And 2.5 hour drive. Always coupled with it, it seems like.
So.
Because it seems like no matter what the state size is, you cover a lot of ground.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5.5 hours down to my lowest point for me to go down. And
there's a lot of driving involved.
Oh, yeah. Tons of driving.
So, So kind of walk us through what, you know, maybe a normal day would be for you as far as being there.
Yeah.
Well,
on the ground and doing your things.
People don't know exactly like what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this moment in time, I am the logistics facilities lead for the state of Oregon for the American Red Cross, obviously. And I deal with all the facilities that we use, be it a parking lot, warehouse, office space, school gymnasiums, churches, things of that nature. And so we have to do, of course, agreements. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And so a lot of the times they're donated to us, which is great. And they help us out tremendously as far as the donor dollar.
We're putting up some cool Coca-Colas here.
My normal day is just really trying to go in checking out all the facilities that we're using. And, once I get them up and running, initially, as far as paperwork wise, then my position switches to a, role of helping support them and making sure that they have supplies and warehouses have, you know, and right now with COVID, everybody having PPE. And, which is it's always a struggle is trying to make sure that they have the right amount of PPE. Cause I mean, we can give them, you know, a big box and we're like, oh, they'll be good for a week. And then tomorrow they call us and like, hey, we need some more PPE.
Yeah. Cause you never know how many people are really going to need them. Then, so
exactly.
You go through that talk and you're like, man, there's a lot more people here than we thought. And then you got to get more. But you just went from, what was it, Texas, coming from there, going from a flood where there's too much water to a place where there's too much fire.
Yep. Yeah, good analogy on that. I was based out of, Orange, Texas.
Okay.
And I was in charge of Houston all the way down to Galveston, all the way over to the Louisiana border.
Oh, wow.
And then a little bit of Lake Charles.
Yeah. Not like Texas is small or anything.
No. Not at all.
Take a weekend. So,
yeah, exactly. It would take pretty much a whole weekend.
Yeah.
And so
you don't want to throw mistakes.
No.
So I guess real quick, you know, I mean, if, you know, with being up there in Oregon right now and, I mean, what's some of the challenges that you're facing up there as far as, you know, like getting from one place to the next?
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, right, the last couple days have actually been a little easier than the initial when I first got here. The smoke was just so bad that you couldn't see more than usually a quarter of a mile. I think the furthest that I saw was a half a mile.
Right.
But right for the rest of the time, I mean, that one half a mile, that was a short little break in the in the smoke, and then the rest of it went back down to a quarter of a mile. And that was pretty much from Eugene all the way down to – actually, excuse me. That was pretty much from Portland all the way down to Eugene. I think Roseburg, I think, is where it finally started easing up a little bit. But it I mean, it was nuts. I mean, I actually the other day, I outside of my hotel room, there's this glass tower that I keep talking about because I'm still amazed that it's made of glass. I literally thought it was just an architectural thing made of stucco. I mean, it's not even, it's a little, probably a quarter of a mile from here. I'm actually looking at it right now. And
how's it looking?
It looks beautiful. It's made of glass at night. It changes colors and everything like that. And, I didn't realize that until the other day when the rain came in and it took all the smoke out of the air, which thank God. And I realized it was made of glass and there were buildings behind it. There's a mountain behind it. Had no idea.
There's a mountain.
No idea.
It's a slow reveal. Work it back. You don't want to get too overwhelmed. You know?
That's insane. There's so much smoke that you didn't even know there was a mountain behind it.
No, had no idea.
Like, how much does that stuff? Because it seems like it's all dependent on where the winds go. Because the winds can really carry a fire to, you know, to unpredictable places. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, the good thing, I mean, Oregon's set up very interesting, and I've never actually looked at a map of Oregon, but you pretty much just have a corridor that's on the western end of the state that literally goes from Portland all the way down to Bedford, and it's a pretty semi-straight line down there. So, I mean, that part's been easy. It's not like where I live in upstate New York where you have, you know, this branch is off to this way and this branch is off to that way, and you have a big city over here, but then – you don't have anything for a good couple hundred miles, and there's another city.
The Finger Lakes.
About the Finger Lakes. But you have all of the corridors. I mean, you're really just in a fatal funnel much here. And so probably poor choice of words there, but yeah.
I guess can really affect it. Because isn't that fire travels faster uphill than it does downhill?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I think if I'm not, somebody told me the other day, I was standing in an elevator with one of the firefighter, and he was like, yeah, he goes, there's a burn going on not too far from here. And he goes, and they're just letting it go. And I was like, well, why are they letting it go? I was like, explain that to me. He goes, because it's going uphill. Right. He's like, there's no reason even to fight it.
So there's no way you could stop it with that. Travel.
Yeah. He goes, at that point, it travels too fast to move people in the right spot, and then they get up there and get trapped. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
That's interesting.
Is it like the height of the trees or something that, like, you know, that makes it like, because I've seen like fires, they almost look like they skip over, like they'll catch like the next easiest thing to catch on fire, really.
Yeah. Yep. No, I mean, it's like when you get to the top of the trees, I mean, the trees that are just a little bit below it on the other side of the mountain, I mean, those will start catching fire at the top, and then that breaks off, and then it spreads down.
But
obviously going slower than going up, but it will still absolutely go down. And with the I watched a video actually yesterday that somebody showed me about how the fires are actually creating their own weather.
Right.
Here.
Seen that, and they create their own atmosphere. Yeah, weather.
Have you seen the one with the tornado?
Fire tornadoes are like the worst.
That was incredible. Yeah. I couldn't believe I was watching that. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I've seen videos of that. It's like, oh my gosh, that just makes fire like 10 times worse.
Yeah, tornadoes are already scary, but then you don't light on fire too, you know?
Let's put fire in it.
It just seems unnecessary. It seems over the top. Like, what was it,
Michael Bay
movie? Like...
Fire-nado.
But, I mean, it's absolutely incredible what
fire is a living, breathing thing.
It really is. And so, and I mean, I know that we still have some good amount of fire going on south of the state.
Okay.
I believe the ones up here in District 1 and 2, which are the northern two territories that we are what we call districts.
Okay.
The fire is getting contained, and it's a little bit more controllable at this point.
So you feel like of it's what's getting left better.
It's getting better up in the northern part. The southern part's still having a good of a fight.
Okay.
A good fight right now. And so we're trying to move operations up from Portland. I'm hoping in the next 48 hours we'll have at least Portland and Salem taken care of as far as the Red Cross is concerned with facilities and things of that nature. Not saying that we are not still, you know,
just real quick, currently how many people are you guys like assisting in and around that area? Do you have a number? Do you know? I mean,
actually hold on 1 second. Stand by
one second. What's the number? What's
look up the number of people assisted right now.
You know, this just kind of gives everybody a good idea that, you know, how much, you know, the Red Cross it's right in the is middle. Doing for people up there. And
I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah, crazy. Actually, I have somebody looking it up right now.
Nice.
Yeah, in the IEP.
You have your assistant. Do you want to be part of this podcast?
While they're looking that up real quick, do like coastal winds or anything like that, or any like things like the closer you get to the ocean side, does that play a factor in kind of how the fire moves or anything like that?
I mean, the weather has been very cooperative actually since I've been on the ground. I mean, there's either been no wind or very little wind.
You were showing up.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh wait, he's here.
Let's calm down a bit. What's your name? What's your nickname there?
Oh, chaos! Christian has arrived on scene.
We had to put that in one for sure.
Yeah, Jose Aponte.
So, I mean, as far as let's plug the Red Cross for a minute. If you want to donate to the Red Cross, you know, redcross.org, and then of course the 1-800 number Red Cross.
Yep,
help these people out. I mean, Christian's up there trying to do a great job for people and donating his time to. You know, to assist people
and time and effort,
and they need your help. So, Christian, you want to talk about some of the ways you can donate inside the Red Cross?
Yeah, obviously, any financial donations we will absolutely take. Any blood donations is a major, major, major part of what we do, and it's a huge need. I actually just got a text message this morning about urgent need for blood, and if I have a second, I'm actually going to go here in Portland to the chapter here and donate blood while I'm on the ground.
Nice, man.
And also the blood services does a antibody check. And so at this point in time with COVID going on, so a little 2-in-1 deal for you.
And if you're going to donate, you might as well get checked.
And just
checked
out. Big thing is just really make. Yeah, I go for the cookies.
They give you the old orange juice there, or apple juice. Well, you get some juices. Mm-hmm.
Pack of Oreos.
Pack of Oreos. Yeah, I'm down. But definitely make an appointment. I was at the chapter the other day and asked them if they could just, you know, sneak me in because I had a moment. And they were like, no. They're like, take a number.
Like, I work here.
We don't care. So your daily routine sounds like there's a lot of travel involved in there.
Yeah.
A lot of setting up of things. Typically, I mean, you know, how long do you think you spend, you know, the typical day at work? I know everybody, including myself, likes to complain about the old 9-to-5 schedule, you know, nothing really outside of that, but I'm sure it's
9-to-5. That would be so wonderful. No, I mean, our normal days, our normal days start around 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. We have an 8 o'clock in the morning, what is called stand up. It's a meeting, just kind of, it's a briefing of everything that's happening today. Like, what's happening? Like what happened yesterday?
The military.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so, and we do those twice a day, once in the morning, once at night.
Yeah.
And then after that, pretty much the day just kicks off at about 8:30 is usually about the time everything really starts going. And I mean, even during the meeting, there's a lot of people that are still, you know, doing work, taking phone calls.
real quick, when you're still, like, you know, you've got people in shelters and things like that. I mean, do you guys like have, you know, people who do like all night shifts or, you know, a rotation of people?
Yeah.
Like,
trying to, oh yeah. No, we have
coming in and, you know, looking for help.
Yeah, no, there's day and night shifts for let's just talk sheltering. There's day and night shifts, or overnight shifts as they call it. And then, they have, but I mean, the doors are always open.
Right.
So we will always still accept people in for, with, any needs right. at that point. And so, thank you. And so we, have, you know, the day and night shifts that happen, and they all, you know, show up whenever they need assistance, and we are always there to assist them in any way, shape, and form. And so,
okay, let's get back to, did we figure out what the number was?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you.
Oh, yeah, did we figure out the number?
That's our hotels. That's how good we are.
Hold on, let's see here.
This has, so you're gonna do math.
Oh, she's saying I have to do math.
There's math involved. All right,
do you want to? He wants to get back to you.
Yeah. We can wait till the end, because I know how I get when I get with math. It's like, oh, this is going to take
a second. I can fight my way through it. Not my most enjoyable subject, but yeah, it's what it is.
But again, this is, you know, a good friend of mine, Christian. He's up in Portland with the Red Cross, helping out with the relief up there as far as taking care of displaced people who have lost their homes or livelihoods.
I mean, I've watched a fair amount on, you know, the news and social media and stuff like that, video clips and all that stuff like that, but it's different going from, you know, watching stuff on TV and talking to somebody who's actually on the ground and doing it. So there's a lot more context that right. sometimes gets missed.
And then do you think even like, you know, even like, of course you have, you know, personal protection equipment that you have to get out to these people for COVID-19,
but
it's even more essential that, you know, somebody has some type of mask up there because of the fire and then just the ash that's flying through the air, correct?
Yeah, no, actually that was one of the most interesting things that I saw when I got off the plane. I wasn't even off the plane. I was looking out the window. I was watching the ash fall past my little porthole of the window. It was everywhere. I mean, I'm sure I breathed, taking a few breaths with hitting ash when I would take my mask off
right.
when I was walking outside, you know, 6 feet away from somebody.
Right.
But yeah. Right. Right. But yeah, no, I mean, it was it was a bit much.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see. I was actually in the the South Tahoe fire that happened. God, I can't remember how long ago. We had, it was tough breathing it then, but I was a lot closer to the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so it wasn't really ash; it was ambers
right.
Flying around and. And we had respirators on when we were doing everything. So right, it was a little different. Just a little different. But further away, yeah, now it looked like it was snowing.
Yep.
I mean, if it wasn't for the rain, I'm pretty sure the buildings would have still had ash all over them. So,
yeah, that happened. But, I did a deployment in Guatemala. I was in the Army. And we were our old FOB that we had set up, I guess, nearby, they had these sugarcane fields, and they do like a crop rotation thing where they burn one field and move the next bug and kind of move around. Yep. But when they burn that large area, it creates like the same effect kind of as a fire, you know, forest fire and stuff like that. And I walked out of my tent. It's already like 120 degrees, so I'm not the happiest person. And I'm walking out there, and it's just raining ashes. It's like you said, like snowing. Like, yeah, I grew up in the Northeast, and I realized that it'll just fall the same way as snow. And I look around, I'm like, what is this?
it's like it's truly hell here. Yeah. I'm sorry, I just said
custom. You put your tongue out and taste it, and you're like, wait, this doesn't taste the same.
You know what? Weirdly enough, it tastes like
barbecue.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be up there with some of the deep pack food in the Army.
Where were you in Guatemala?
Huh?
Where were you in Guatemala?
I don't know exactly, but I was on the Pacific side, about 8.5 hours outside of Guatemala City.
He was in the.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to go to, my family had a house in Antigua, and we had a clinic up in Chitimatenango.
That's cool.
And, we used to go up there like four times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I exhausted all my high school Spanish going there, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Yeah. Like, even, it was a humanitarian mission, so we downloaded a bunch of, vehicle and equipment, and it was a joint operation with the Navy, and, Yeah, we worked a little bit with the Guatemalan army. We were way better at volleyball than I had previously predicted. I don't think people could jump that high. I was like, well, you know. you live on a diet of fresh pineapple. I guess you got some mad ups.
That's good stuff. So I can't figure out my computer.
You can't figure it out. All right. Well, you just keep the numbers. I mean, would you say like let's go from greater to less? Like, would you say like a lot?
Because you've probably been in a few situations at this point, like a few different disasters, and you know, that's
I would say easily. I mean, there's obviously over 2,000 people
evacuated in the state that you guys are helping right now.
Yeah, in the state that we're helping here, and so we'll go with like 2,000, 2,500, okay. Something like that's that still a lot, at this point in time. And they're not all in one general location. Right. They're all over the state, and we're having to open up all these different little spots, satellite shelters, for a word, but having to open those up and keep everybody, you know, involved.
Right. I mean, now when you get into the, like, when you're sheltering, you're putting them in shelter, obviously they're displaced. Do you feed them, or do you have like another program that comes in and like takes care of the maybe some of the food they have?
I mean, if they come into our shelters, we give them cots, we give them blankets, we give them water and food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay.
And depending upon where we're at is dependent upon which, organization we use. We have used everything from Salvation Army, food banks, Southern Baptist, World Kitchen. I think that's, I don't know, there's a few others. Plus, local
charities
companies will come out. Charities come in and they help out a lot. Like,
show up in the food truck and go, hey, I'm going to cook hamburgers for you guys all day.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they all help out tremendously, and also it eases our workload.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When they come in and help, what is it? Firehouse Subs. Oh my gosh,
they're huge.
If I eat one more sub,
I'm sure
they make a good meatball sub.
They make
my daughter. Yeah, daughter worked for Firehouse Subs, so quite a few.
Yeah, they have donated so much. So many sandwiches, and I mean, they have been an amazing organization to work with, because I mean, they will deliver it, they will make it themselves, they'll prepackage it themselves, and they'll deliver it themselves. Oh, I couldn't ask for a better ride. This works.
I'm heading out on the Red Cross. I'm going to gain 20 pounds from eating Firehouse Subs.
Oh, buddy, you gain weight on DRs, and so especially if you're in the South, everything's deep fried.
Ain't nothing wrong with something.
I think it was Hurricane Florence. I went down there, and I was in Virginia and North Carolina, and I went the very last. I thought I was doing good until I went to my new location, which I was there for about 2 weeks or so.
Where is that?
That was in after Fayetteville, Goldsboro. Goldsboro, yeah. We went to Goldsboro, and every day,
I like
every
how you got somebody back there with a Rolodex of different places that you've been.
Well, she was with me.
We're getting insight from your memory.
Yeah, she was with me actually during that whole event, and and she's got a lot better memory than I do. But
understandable, yeah, I do the same thing.
And she, every other day was this barbecue place that would bring barbecue and all this good stuff.
Yeah, like,
and then the days that it didn't do it, Popeyes delivered. It was terrible
all day. They were supposed to open one across from the place I lived, and they stopped building it after the whole like COVID thing came down to Nashville, and I was really disappointed, but also kind of relieved they didn't have a Popeyes right across the street, because I would be over there.
Except don't eat that dry ass biscuit they make.
I like the biscuits.
Yeah, man, I just find them that
you just got to put more butter on.
You'll be all right. I don't think there is enough butter.
A little bit more butter, a little bit more salt. You'll be all right.
The rest of my car.
Yeah, we're just talking about being healthy. You know, I'm putting all this.
No, actually,
I was like, you know how much butter you could possibly pack into a biscuit? Let me tell you.
No, this DR, I think I've done actually pretty good. I'm trying to watch because I gained, I don't know, probably 20 pounds during COVID. I'm not going to blame COVID. I would have probably gained 20 pounds without COVID, but I'm blaming COVID. But on this DR, I was like, okay, I'm not going to gain any weight. I'm gonna lose some weight. I don't know if I've lost any weight, but I don't think I've gained any weight. Right? So it's all water weight.
You're out there like the Kool-Aid guy, man.
Yeah, right.
Just tell everybody you're big boned.
Yeah, I am big boned. Very big boned.
Massacre of forest fire. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, dang. Okay.
That was fun.
So, yeah. That's
but anyway,
back on the serious.
We may have take three.
I don't know. I think it's fine.
No, but I think what you're doing up there is great. You know, as far as, you know, like when thanks, I first like, heard what you were doing, like, I'm like, what are you doing? You're where? What? Oh. And then I thought to myself, like, yeah, that seems about right.
That's Christian.
If people ever want to volunteer or anything like that, like being somebody who does these deployments, like if somebody, you know, is out there and wants to do something like this, like what could they expect if they choose to do a deployment like you're doing?
When you're on the ground, it's a very fast pace sometimes. And I mean, there's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Right.
Hurry up to get to one location, to wait to go to another location.
Yeah, honestly, part of it sounds like the Army.
it really is. It's very much like the military in a lot of ways. Obviously, we don't get weapons.
Right.
But, I mean, other than that, I mean, we still eat, we eat MREs at times.
Right.
We sleep on cots. Yeah,
they haven't gotten any better, have they?
I don't know, man. I had one the other day. It was a meatloaf and mashed potatoes or something.
You get that jalapeno cheese spread, you spread that on there, that's the best one.
But I had that meatloaf the other day. I was like, man,
meatloaf's
this is
not
good.
Bad. Not knocking the meatloaf.
This is a good one. Been a long time since I ate one, but I was like, hey, it's not bad. We were in a location that we had everything. We had everything but fresh food at that point in time, and I was hungry. And I was like, give me one of those MREs, and I was like, I'll do it. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. They're all sitting there eating granola bars. I'm eating meatloaf and mashed potatoes. About 4,000 calories later.
Are we getting we're getting a double layer.
Yeah. It doesn't record. For some reason or another, we're getting a double layer.
What's a double layer?
I don't know. It's just like it has to kick in.
We're getting double audio right now, or it's kind of like we're in a like if a parallel universe was the same thing.
But it's not recording. It's not recording it though. That's what's crazy.
Okay. All right. So then moving on.
Let's take a break, and we'll get back to you.
Christian, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's take a break for a second, and so I can end this, and we'll get back to you. Right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Bye. Yo, back.
There we go.
At it. Sorry, some technical difficulties we had here with our little podcast, but we are back here with Christian in Portland.
We'll reel it back a little bit. Kind of pick up kind of where we went.
I think we were talking about volunteers coming out. Yes.
So, when you have people who would like to volunteer and thought about volunteering with the Red Cross, what are some things, because you're on a deployment right now, what are some things that those people might expect?
We briefly talked about this the other day about the, how, you know, it, without our team, being in good standings, they don't really aren't really able to help out if they're not in good standing. So, I mean, a good right. chunk of our job is to make sure that the team members are taken care of. And so, and we do our best.
Oh yeah.
Right. Sometimes the situation is that you're not in the, you're in no better shape than a lot of times the clients, as far as where you're staying at night. Yeah, so you'll be staying in the, sometimes in the same shelter as them. Right. Just because of,
you're there to yeah. help those people. And yeah. you know, you can't expect to have a better luxury.
Yeah, no. I mean, and that's you sometimes, or most of the time, you deal with the same hardships they're dealing with. It's just that right. your house is not the one that's being destroyed. And on right. top of that, sometimes because you're a local, mm-hmm. And sometimes your house is destroyed. And yeah. We had a guy in Louisiana. I mean, no, he was in Louisiana that, he was out there, and we finally just ended up taking a break, and we were talking to each other. We were working in a warehouse, and or I mean, a point of distribution site. Okay. And we started talking. We just, you know, took a minute to take a break, and we're drinking water, and all of a sudden, I was like, "So, where are you from?" He's like, "Oh, I'm from here." I was like, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Where?" I was like, "Where are you?" I said, "We're from Louisiana." And he goes, "I'm like 15 minutes down the road." Well, we were sitting in one of the hardest hit areas, and he was out there, and he goes, yeah, he goes, my house was hit by the storm. He goes, I have no roof right now, and the back wall has collapsed in on itself. And he goes, I was like, man, do you need like assistance? And I was like,
right, right.
We're the Red Cross. We can help you.
Yeah, yeah. And
your
training kicks in.
Yeah. And he was like, no. He was like, no, he's like, I'm being taken care of. Everything's good. And he goes, and I didn't feel like just sitting around the, you know, the broken down house. Well, he goes, I figured I'd come out and help.
I understand that mentality, because when the tornado went through Nashville and went all the way to Cookeville, which is a really long distance for a tornado, right. like 70 miles or something like that. And I have a friend that lives out there in Cookeville, and his house got hit by a tornado, so I was driving out there to help him clean up basically what was left, and hopefully at some point get him on there and tell the story, because it's crazy. I'm not even going to attempt to tell it now. But you could see places where, like, the tornado where it would pick up, mm-hmm. and then it would touch back down, and then it would pick up, and it would touch back down. And
yep. It's the crazy. Good old skip.
Yeah. So I didn't think that was a thing.
Yeah. No, it happens actually more Oklahoma. When I was okay. there, I had a big map of it was pretty much I think it was a 17 mile stretch that yeah. the tornado went through, the initial tornado went through.
Yeah.
And it literally just it just kind of hopscotched its way across Oklahoma for 17 miles. Sure. And then right after that, the hurricane that the tornado that I was in while I was down there was called the El Reno. And okay. I think still to this day, it is in recorded history, the largest tornado to ever hit the U.S. or like maybe the world.
Yeah,
but it was like 2.2 miles wide, 2.3 miles wide.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
Wow. That's a pretty big one. And I remember I was standing on a loading dock, and I forget the name of the town, but I was standing on a loading dock just looking at it and just in awe on how big it was. I was just right. incredible. But the thing literally lifted up about a mile, maybe 2 miles away from us. You couldn't tell because it was 2.3 miles wide. But
right. it scale kind of goes out the window.
It really does. When it is the horizon, you're like, meh.
Yeah.
Small fry. But it literally lifted up over the top of us about 1 or 2 miles away. Oh. Came over the top of us and then landed about a half a mile south of us.
Oh,
and
man.
And it was just incredible. And then luckily that didn't tear up too much. It hit a lot of farmland, but right. before it was going west to east down the highway. And I believe this is the one that killed a couple of meteorologists, or one meteorologist in a vehicle that was turned rolled over.
Like a movie Twister. I love that.
Yes. Movie. Yeah. It was kind of like that they were hit by the actual tornado. Tore up the airport, literally stopped at the border of Oklahoma City.
Oh,
And then just took a right and came to South. Right. And so it was incredible.
Jesus.
Absolutely incredible. And so,
yeah, the tornado that we faced here in Nashville back in March, you know, it went right by my house. I mean,
yeah,
right by it. And then I heard it. And
you know, sounds like a big freight train.
Yeah, it was like a big freight train. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning when it came through. And it's like I heard the tornado siren, and then I didn't hear the tornado siren. And I thought, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, I feel very fortunate because the people, you know, a street over and through Mount Juliet and just all over just, you know, completely got devastated. And then COVID-19 happens and then nobody cares anymore. Everybody needs to go home. You know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So sometimes how it goes.
But enough about that. Anyway, so when do you think, you know, how long do you think you're going to be there in Portland?
As of right now, I will be on the ground officially until Tuesday of next week.
Okay.
I hope to have, as far as facilities goes, I hope to have most of it cleaned up that I can hand it back to the local Red Cross.
Right.
And so just make it a little bit easier for them to to Man, finish up little things that are still going.
Right.
And then I don't know. I've been asked to go back down south to Texas and or Louisiana.
Yeah.
And then I've also heard the other day that California, I may go down in California and work with them down there. And so I'm not for sure yet. I may
so you're
go
not
going
to take a break yet, huh?
Yeah.
Man, I don't. I mean, not that I don't need a break. This is, I mean, this is what I live for. I mean, 6 months out of the year, I just pretty much stay packed. I don't really. I do laundry, get it done, and roll it back up, and then throw it in my bag, and then just wait for that call.
Have a duffel bag.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's the same thing.
The go bag.
I feel that it always gets bigger every time I go out, but yeah, it's the go bag.
Still collecting stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how did I get all this? What is it?
No, I sent a box home the other day because I didn't feel like keep lugging it around, and I put a bunch of stuff in there. My fiance opened up. She was like, "What is all this?" And she goes, "There's
my dirty
socks." Yeah, she was like, "There's an American flag. There's some picture of something, and like this." And so, yeah, I got the. This is a cool thing. I got the American flag that was on the flagpole in Orange, Texas, and it was shredded from Hurricane Laura, and but it had also been up there for Harvey. Same flag had been there for Harvey, I believe it was Rita, and there was another storm that was in there, and Hurricane Laura just shredded it. And so I took it, and I'm probably going to put it in my office, I think, and hang it up on the wall. And so it's I think it's a pretty interesting I collect weird things from the, I mean, I have like collections.
You gotta have a collection.
Yeah.
You gotta have like an Indiana Jones style, like it belongs in a museum type of collection.
I don't even know why I keep this, but I have it.
But I have it. It's mine.
Yeah, very much but, the same way.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing, and as far as, you know, giving your time to, like, you know, a lot of people don't do what you're doing. I'm not doing it, you know, and I look at you and I think to myself, I'm like, God damn, this guy, they're doing this thing, you know, and sorry, I just keep swearing. I can't help it. I just tell them that I'm a chef and I can't help but not swear, all right? So cut it down to, that's the third swear,
all right? So, but so, yeah.
I'm trying, I'm working on it, I'm getting help, all right?
Done.
I'm just saying, you know, that I just think, you know, there you are out there, you know, just doing things that, you know, normal people don't do or think of, or like, yeah, you know, like when you know, people need the Red Cross's help, they don't think about the people who are out there, like making it happen.
Yeah, that's why it's good to talk to those people.
And, no, I'm glad you guys had me on here, man. This is a nice treat. This is a nice treat. And so, no, I mean, this kind of work, I mean, listen, this is what I truly believe that, I mean, I'm an atheist, but I believe that this is my purpose. And if there is a God, this is what God's purpose was for me. And
you can't be an atheist without God.
There's so much irony in that comment.
Maybe if you just want to live with the same ethics and morality, but yeah, like,
good people,
there
do.
Was one without having to think about there being one, because that's fun.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this is my purpose in life. This is what I enjoy doing. I enjoy helping people. I always have. I was always that kid that, you know, would, like, if I had a toy that somebody would want, I'd pretty much just handed it to them. And I was privileged enough throughout my life that I could help out people at all times for awesome. The most part. And so, but yeah, this is thing. Just what I love. This is absolutely what I love doing.
I'm glad you continue that trend and you're still helping people today.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome, man. I don't know. I guess we can just go ahead and wrap this up, you know, since we got it in two parts. The first part is about, 30 minutes. The second part, we're hitting about 12. So,
yeah.
All right, man.
I'll shoot that off to you and let you listen to it. And
sounds like a deal, guys. Well, listen.
I really appreciate it. Again, let's just put it out there for the Red Cross. Redcross.org. If you want to donate, don't forget about your local blood drives. They need your blood. Like Christian's doing.
Yeah,
right now.
We desperately need volunteers right now. Need volunteers.
There's a lot of things going on. Right. If you got time, and you want to volunteer, get out there.
Yeah, want to do something meaningful? Here's your chance.
Agreed. Yeah. Hey, you might see me out here.
That's right. You might meet this guy. You'd be like, "Oh no, we heard your podcast."
I know that voice.
But yeah, man, we appreciate you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Don't forget to take a break.
All right.
Stay out of harm's way.
I'll think about it.
All right. We love
all right,
you,
guys. Well, thank you very much, man. Thanks, we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you later.
All right.
Sounds good. Bye.
Peace.